Hello and welcome to Colin Bradley Artcast. I'm Stephen Bradley.
And I'm Colin Bradley.
How you doing, Dad?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yes, not too bad. Yeah, not too bad. Yeah, we're doing all right. Cracking on. Everyone's well, though. Everyone's doing well. We're doing okay. We're doing okay. It's just a very busy time, but we're good.
It was lovely to see you in the week.
Yes, yes. Managed to get down to see you guys. Brought Elowin down with me, split the kids up for a day to try and divide and conquer that way. No, she loves you guys so much, so it's lovely to have some dedicated time with you both and spend some time with her.
It was lovely for both of us, really, or all of us, should I say, because Mum and I obviously love seeing the children anyway and touching base really with them, and it gave you a chance to do a little bit of work while you were down here as well. And so it was a win-win all the way, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it worked out really nicely. And it was a lovely day trip for her as well. Mm. Yeah, she had a great time. So, yes, no, we're doing really well. We're doing really well. We've got a few things to talk about this week. We've had a student come to us with a couple of questions, so I definitely want to talk about that. It's a good chance for others to learn from your decisions on what you might decide to do and pick up on this advice that we're giving them. And then also, as I said last week, we're going to talk about the finished picture of the horse. So mm-hmm. I know we teased this last week and you finished it a little while ago now, but we're going to show that as well and talk about your process of how you did the background on that one. So yeah, a few things we're going to talk about today. So the first one, let's jump over to Heather's email. So Heather has sent us a couple of queries. She said, hi, Stephen, Colin. The first query I have is I'm doing a portrait of a fair-skinned baby girl with Faber-Castell pastel pencils on light grey pastel mat. And I think I may have chosen the wrong colour pastel mat. Let me just bring up the picture of the little baby so that people can see the picture that Heather's referring to. Would I be better off using something like sand or something of a similar color? I'm not sure what to do. So let's start with that one. So Heather's chosen light gray. Should she have chosen a different color for this picture?
Well, to be honest, probably not. The light gray would work really well because with the light gray, you're always talking about putting whites on. Well, white would go on top of white grey, light grey, very well. And with whites and the pinks and so on, you get a really nice picture. The skin tones would work out. I'm not sure you'd be better with sand, to be fair. I've done a few light grey pastel mat, as you know, and they've all come up really well, especially if you want a nice bright colour. But you could use sand. I mean, it's up to you, really. Either way, I think it would work out for you.
It wouldn't change the pencils that you used or anything like that. It wouldn't change the application of anything that you chose after that. It just
Simply when you put the whites and the pinks and so on, then it immediately is brighter. So you don't have to work very hard. If you put, if you use a darker or stronger tone, then you do have to work hard to get that colour, base colour in. I think if it was me, my inclination is I would carry on with the light grey pastel mat.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Nice and simple, Heather. I hope that is helpful. You can crack on as you've started. So let us know how you get on with that. The second query you have is, she says, I'm struggling with the colours in my daughter's sadly deceased kitten. His colouring is a ginger tabby, but a paler creamy coloured, and I just can't seem to get the right colour combinations. So let's have a look at that kitty cat as well. There we go, bringing that picture up on screen for people to see now. So it's gorgeous little ginger tabby kitten. A ginger cats we've talked about, I think, fairly recently as well, how you've had lots of questions over the years about how to achieve this colouring. It's quite difficult. Let's just quickly start with the pastel matte colour, as we were just talking about the pastel matte. What would you choose for this picture or this kind of coloured cat?
Well, here again, you could use light grey pastel matte. I think I probably would choose the sand for this one, simply because you've got a head start with the tone, the colour. But the important thing when you're using or you're trying to achieve this lightness, this creaminess, is to put a good base on. Now, I would use the ivory, certainly, but I think I would use some, obviously, you've got white areas there, and I put white there. But where you've got the sort of gingery tones, then I would use the ivory there. That would set you up with a base colour. Now, the other thing that I would use almost certainly here is a grey. Now, you've got to be careful with grey. If you use the bluey greys, which I wouldn't use in here, you've got to work quite hard to get that sand colour eventually. By putting for instance, 270 would work really well here. So that would be added. So what you've got is white and ivory and 270 put on. Now that gives you a cushion colour. And that cushion colour you can change and put the stronger tones on. Now, I would think 187 would be my choice here. But if you put 187 on before you put all those base colours in, it's going to be too harsh. You'll find it big in your face. So that's what I would do. And then once you've got that in and you've established the tone that you want, then you'll be looking at 283, I imagine. Right. Now, we're talking about Faber-Castell here.
It's interesting, isn't it, how, you know, if you're choosing to get to this final colour, you would pick a white base and soften it, but you don't want a white base because you don't want to soften the 187 or other colours going on top. You want to start as close as you possibly can to that tone and then get closer to the gingery colour rather than starting from white and then a harsh ginger and meet in the middle.
You can't do that. That won't work. You've got the two won't go together. You've got to have if you put the white on, then you've got to add the grey and the ivory to set up that base colour. If you don't do that, you're going to find just the white on its own wouldn't work. Mm. You've got to have other colours as well. I mean, there are other colours that I probably would use if I was doing it, because Caran d'Ache have got some really attractive tones, soft tones, and...
They have, haven't they? Is it 542 Butternut? Is like 542 is a really lovely. I'm just going to see if I can find it, but that's a really lovely color as well.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of lovely colors, and I would do that. But if you can get away with Faber, you could do it with Faber-Castell. You could do it with any of the colors as long as you're following those rules. Because they've all got the light greys and what you've got to be careful of, Steve, is the bluey cooler colours, and the warmer earthy colours. You've got to get. Sometimes you can use both, but in this case, I wouldn't. I'd be using the earth colours here.
Yeah, this is the. Let me just show you what the 542. I don't know if it popped into my head as a colour. Let me just find it. That has just jumped out at me because I remember the Caran d'Ache range. And this is the 542 Butternut. And that's sort of an orangey.
Yeah, but that, you see, that could work. That's one of the colours that I would probably try. But you've got to practice. You don't want to, you still want that earth tone to start off with. You've got to get that earthy colour, otherwise you're going to be struggling. Mm. You can see it. If you look at the cat now, you can see it's very warm looking, and that's the effect you're going to have to get. And you've got the pinks as well there, the pink in the ear, and there's pink on the nose, and I can see also some of the pink in the animal as well.
Yeah.
Which is earthy, which gives you a lovely warmth there.
There's one that I just remembered. Oh, it's not quite the same. There's a kitten demonstration that you did on the school as well, but it's not quite, I don't think that's quite the same.
Mm. Oh, there's just quite a few. I think you'll probably find there's quite a few, especially if you go down the cat route, because I've done a few ginger ones.
Yeah, I was just going to see if I could just go to here as well and see. So this is one of the kittens that popped into my head, although it's a bit blonde, isn't it, that one? Mm.
That's right. Now you've got to come.
Just going to see if there's any others that are.
I don't think you will find any others.
There's a ginger cat, isn't there? There's that one.
Yeah, you see that. Each photograph that's been taken has got its own set of tones.
Yeah,
and you've got to follow those. Well, the cat that we were looking at is much softer.
Yeah.
And lighter than that. So that's why I was talking about the greys. You've got to bring those light greys in.
Yeah. Yeah.
White's light greys, the ivories. The ivory would give you a softer color, but you wouldn't want that. You wouldn't particularly need that. If you look at let's look at part of that. On the base where the legs are, on the tummy, you've got a light area there. If you look at that, no, work slowly the other way towards the bottom of the section. Now drop it down. That's the area. That's the bit. That's where you see. Look at that color. You can see all those colors I've talked about there. You've got the ivory. You've got the white, the ivory, and the gray. Now look at the gray, particularly the lower part of that. You can see there, and that's where you're going to need the lighter grays, and of course you'd be using the stronger tones as well.
Mm.
Can you see the pink in it now?
A little bit. Well, definitely the pink in the animal where there's pink. Mm. But I think I'd have to see you do it to.
Mm. Well, yeah, I can see, but that pink, the pink and the grey together, that's 270. And if you're using Faber, it would be 132, wouldn't it? So you're looking at those colours, and that would give you that colour.
Mm.
And whether you're using sand or whether you're using light grey pastel, it doesn't matter. You'd still get that same colour there. What you couldn't do is use the very strong tones colour. I wouldn't on this.
Gotcha. Okay, good advice. Thank you, Heather, for sending that in. I hope that's helpful and helpful to anyone else watching, listening, and potentially coming across anything like that in the future. Let us know, Heather, how you get on. If you want to send us any updates, we'd love to see them and we can share them with the rest of the listeners. Now let's talk about this horse picture that you have finished. Before I show everyone the final picture, I'm going to show a sort of an in-between as you're working out the background, because you mentioned this picture to me. Hmm. And you said this is going to be worth talking about to see how you got to the background. So just discuss what you're doing here in this picture.
Well, I wanted the you've got to be careful with something like this. You if you use anything too bright, too rich, it will clash. So what I had to do, rather like I was talking about with the ginger cat just now, you've got to put a cushion on first, so that cushion then will receive the strong tones. Now you can see there, I think right at the very bottom, I think, of this, you can't actually see the bottom of it, can you? I don't know whether you can. Right at the bottom, that's it, that's that right at that bottom area, that's the one. Now if you look at that area, that is that yellowy tone that we're talking about. Now that's the colour, I can't remember the colour number now, that's all gone, but that was a Caran d'Ache colour. I use there. And what I wanted to do is to set the tone in there. And if you look from there, you can see the pastel paper shining through there, can't you? The same color. I hadn't blended that deliberately because I wanted to show this. I had it in my mind that this is what I was going to show you, or show the members. So you can see there the influence it has. Now, that colour that we've got there, when it was blended, you can see above there where you can see that colour very distinctly shining through there. And then you can see the greens that I've added. But those greens work really well. Now, had those greens been put on before I put that cushion, it would have looked, well, it wouldn't have worked. So I know very well that that's what I've got to do. And you'll see when you see the finished picture in a minute, you'll see how well this has actually come up. But that is a critical thing. As I say, it's so important with backgrounds. There's your finished picture. Now you can see everything I was talking about.
Yeah, look at that. That really makes the subject pop, doesn't it?
Yes, it was very satisfying to find that softness that I had, that I wanted to... it's quite close to the original picture that had lots of white as well in it, but this one has got a really nice warmth to it.
It looks great. The horse itself as well. You got that shine on the hair. It gives a really lovely... Let's just try and zoom in on that and see that kind of impressionistic hair you've got there, you know, the impression that there's a lot of fine hairs there. When in reality you've not drawn all of those in.
no, and I think I remember telling you last time that it's quite quick. You don't overwork something like this. The ears particularly, I think only had three colors. That's all there was in there, but that I added, I think, I can't really remember. I think it might have been 180. I added that afterwards to give us a little bit of light in there. But it's fresh. I think that's the best word to describe it. It's fresh. If you keep pulling colours and ladling it on, then you lose the origin of it. You can see also, we talked about last time, the cutting the background into the hair by that eye. You see how well it actually worked out in the end. The combination of background eye that you can see just about, and the hair that's going across it.
Very clever, very nice. And the eyes are so three-dimensional. Not just the eye itself, but the surround of the eye. It's so... They really pop out. It really gives such dimension. And the section just left of the horse's head, just around here, you get that three-dimensional sense, don't you?
It was a very interesting subject and a very interesting picture to do. As I say, different from anything else I've done, because it gave me a challenge, to say the least. You know, that challenge, particularly the blue. I mean, I did show the original picture anyway. I think you saw that recently. You kind of think, well, where's the blue? Surely it's not. Wouldn't put blue in the horse, but there is a blue. There was a blue there, and it was very distinct as well.
Yeah.
But that gave it, in my opinion, it gave it the icing on the cake, as far as I was concerned, because it really worked well.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic, excellent. So what sort of difficulty would you class a picture like this?
I would like to think that it would be intermediate. I don't think there's anything there, especially when you see the video, that someone with a bit of experience wouldn't be able to tackle. I'm sure it would. The key to this is direction of hair. You can see that very clearly here. It changes direction all the time as you go. If you come round the neck and down to the body area, it changes direction. You've got to keep that in mind when you're doing it. And then the head itself, where that parts in the middle and then drags down to almost vertical time you get to the nose. That, again, is really, really critical. If you don't do that, then you're going to lose it. I think I would say intermediate.
Great. Don't think good stuff.
Look, they wouldn't be able to do.
I'm sure a lot of people are pleased to hear that.
Well, we're seeing some fantastic work now on the site. I mean, things that I wouldn't have thought, an amateur would be able to do, but they do. They're doing it very well. And a couple of pictures of the lady with the fan, particularly, that's come out really well. Unbelievable. I see they've taken a few liberties with my window. The window, it was quite intense. This had a plain window, the last one I saw. Doesn't matter. Not important. But
this is the idea, you know, you can take your own artistic license when doing any of the classes and everything.
Well, I did. When I, it wasn't exactly the same as the picture that I saw. You've got to change it. Well, you haven't got to, but it's a good idea to make the picture your own. And I try to do that with everything if I can. Just follow the original photograph and the photograph, the photographer's eye, but also try to find your own stamp on it and do what you feel is right. And it's great fun.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. Lovely. Well, that class is coming to the website. The horse picture, I've picked up a whole load of memory cards, so that just adds on to the whole backlog that we've got here, but I'm getting through them. The seagull, I don't know if we mentioned that last week. That's basically ready. I've just got to hit the go button on that, and I've prepped all that class, so that should be going up on YouTube on our school. That's the free seagull's head class that people can learn how to draw. A nice 40-minute lesson, quite quick. Not many pencils, very ideal. So that's going up probably in the next couple of days, early part of next week. So people will be able to get stuck in with that. And then I'll be working on the next full-scale project. So just many, many to choose from in terms of editing those. But we'll get another one up soon. Thanks, Dad, for your advice and for talking about your picture. We'll be back next week with some more things to discuss. As always, if anyone has anything they want us to talk about, any requests, anything like that, then please drop us in an email or get in touch with us via a comment section or however you want to. And we'll happily talk about and give some advice on the show. But for now, we will leave it there for this week. So thank you, everyone, for watching and for listening. I'm Stephen Bradley.
And I'm Colin Bradley.
Enjoy the week.